For both of us, we were very excited to become parents for the first time, but also bracing for the changes that come with becoming parents, you know, the unknown. On August 27, 2004, Bryson, our Bubba, as that we call them, was born. He was a healthy baby, but that didn't last for long. At Bryson's six-month checkup, the doctor started to ask some serious questions about Bryson's health. This began a long relationship with Children's Mercy Hospital, which was an adventure at times, but also started a time where we sought out our community group that we could do life with.
Then in the midst of Bryson's many doctor's appointments, we found out that we were going to be parents again to another baby boy. Parker, or Stinky, was born on January 8, 2006, 5 weeks early and not healthy. In case you were counting, the boys are 15 months apart. Parker spent just a month in Children's Mercy Intensive Care Nursery. For many parents, that is the scariest place on earth. There were several times in that month that we were on our knees praying to God to heal and save our baby boy. There were days that were not pretty, but God was always there, and we knew it and we felt it. We would not have made it through that month without our church family, our regular family, and God holding us up when it was obviously way too hard just to stand.
The next few months and even most of that year were rough. I was living in Manhattan, Kansas, while Jen and the boys were back in Kansas City. Bryson was still undergoing almost weekly tests and appointments to try to figure out what was going on. At the same time, Parker had many firsts for a lot of surgeries, just starting at 8 weeks old. Even though our life was chaotic, God was always in control and had a plan. We knew that even when we didn't have the strength or courage to admit it. Not saying it was easy, but we knew that he always had our backs.
Parker was about a year old when Mike and I started talking about having another baby. I was really wanting a baby girl, and still do. So before we even started trying, we had conversations with many of our doctors about a possible third pregnancy. We ran some tests and everything came out great. So we saw that as the green light to go ahead and try for another baby. After about a year and six miscarriages later, I was finally able to stay pregnant. This was one of my darkest times up to this point in my life. So many questions of why, with no one able to give us any answers. Then on January 28, 2008, we welcomed our third son, Duncan. He was perfectly healthy and a perfect addition to our family.
Shortly after Duncan's birth is when we really started to see some big changes with Bryson and Parker. They weren't developing like typical children, and were both still having some major health concerns. It wasn't until Bryson had a very routine surgery that answers were starting to reveal themselves and provide some needed comfort of just knowing. Jim would always say, we can't fight a fight if we don't know what we're fighting. Finally, after a long wait on August 8, 2008, just shortly before Bryson's fourth birthday, we now knew what the fight was going to be. In a small room at Children's Mercy Hospital, it was explained to us that Bryson Parker had Niemann-Pick disease type C, or MPC, fatal, no cure. This was a huge turning point for Jen and I. The following day, we attended our small group on that Saturday evening at Pleasant Valley. We shared with our friends and the people that we were doing life with that the test results were in. Our boys were going to die. They huddled around us and laid hands upon us, and amongst the prayers, there were intense tears being shed. I can still see their faces today and feel that godly touch of their hands. This was a huge turning point for us because we instantly knew and felt they loved us no matter what. Up until that point, we didn't know if we fit in, but we just kept coming. Another pivotal moment in our lives that God placed us purposely in the midst of that community group to shower us with his love and comfort. It is an incredible feeling.
This is the time that I really kicked into gear. You see, Niemann-Pick type C is rare. There's only about 50 people in the United States with it, and we have the only two boys here in Missouri. Our doctors here in Kansas City knew nothing. We were now the experts. I knew that I now had to be on a crusade to find a cure and to save my boys. We didn't know, though, that God had a different plan. Over the next few years, we traveled anywhere we could to find more answers and a cure to hear our boys. Our community group was standing beside us, and we were trusting God. Even though I knew God was in control, I personally still deeply struggled with the why. I had some very dark conversations with God. I didn't understand why he was going to allow my two boys to die when he only had to lose one. Why did he choose Mike and I? And more importantly, why Bryson and Parker?
Fast forward a few years, the boys had more doctor's appointments than I could even count. They had more surgeries to have, feeding tubes placed, central lines that simply could give them a better quality of life. Those were tough decisions to make. It was admitting the inevitable to a degree. Along with the changes, they were having an increase of seizures and were losing more and more abilities right underneath us. It seemed as every week we were adding or increasing another medication. We were a medical family. We had a very strict schedule that could be deadly if not followed. It was hard, and we had to continuously set aside our selfish desires. We now had nurses and caretakers in our home very frequently, helping with the mounting stress of taking care of two beautiful boys around the clock. But honestly, never once did I resent all the work. I would take it back and do it over and over. I felt blessed to be their dad, honored. It was the biggest pleasure to take care of Bryson and Parker, but every day we could see them slipping away.
Surprisingly, Mike and I still wanted more children. So in August 2012, we made a huge leap of faith and became foster parents. I finally got that baby girl I was always wanting. That proved to be one of the biggest challenges yet. After about a few placements and a year later, we decided to take a break. We felt that we needed to really focus on the boys, and we could feel that something really big was coming. We didn't know what, but we knew God was in control.
In 2013, Bryson, now 9, had 4 hospital PICU stays within 5 months. He was needing a life-changing surgery that, without, he would not live much longer. Kind of ironic to say that. That was not a decision that any parent could take lightly. How do you sign a consent form for surgery knowing that your child may not come back to you? Jenny and I knew that while we had amazing doctors and a care team in place, our God was the best doctor, and he had the plan, and he was in control. We agreed to the surgery in early January 2014, so not very long ago. Bryson came out of surgery a totally new boy. We felt this had fixed some of his problems. It was a huge answer to our prayers. Once again, God showed us another step in his plan. It was scary at times, because we knew Bryson's time was already around third base.
It was in the very early hours of March 4th, 2014, that Mike and I, hands down, made the hardest decision we've ever had to make. You see, overnight, Bryson had become unresponsive with a very high heart rate and abnormal seizures. There was nothing else our amazing earthly doctors could do. That dreaded morning at 1:55, Bryson was healed. Bryson was now in heaven with our Savior. Without a doubt, God was in the hospital room that morning. Ask anyone that was there, and they would all agree. We were devastated, of course. Any parent would be, but we still knew that Bryson was no longer suffering.
One of our hardest conversations that we have ever had was telling Duncan that Bryson was no longer here, but in heaven with Jesus. I remember saying a quick prayer and just asking for the words, because who trains for that moment? Through all of our foster training, medical training, education, or conversations with professionals, no one ever prepared us for that dreaded conversation. Through those next few minutes, hours, and days, it was our church family that held us up. And that statement's just not lip service. It was factual. They helped us plan a funeral for our sweet Bubba's in 3 very short days. They helped me make sure the eulogy was just right and that we had the perfect music to accompany the services. They fed us. They took over everything. All Jen and I could do was breathe second by second. Just be in this fog, or did this really just happen? We had to keep going. We still had Parker and Duncan to take care of. They still needed to be cared for, but Bryson now has met our ultimate caretaker, God. Could you imagine the homecoming?
After the funeral, I was in a very dark place, darker than I ever knew possible. The baby boy that made me a mom was gone. What do I do now? Parker and Duncan were at school, so now what? How was I going to live without my sweet Bubba's? I can honestly say that I'm standing here because of the grace of God and my Savior. Some very close friends saw me through the worst days of my life thus far, and most were not without tears and some panic attacks. The loss of a child is simply unbearable. Then, once again, God placed in my heart to have more foster girls. So acting out in faith, we accepted a 2-year-old little girl named Anya. This little girl came to us in dirty clothes, matted hair, and no shoes. I was now her new mommy. I wasn't able to save my boys, but I was going to save this little girl. Anya has not been an easy child. That's an understatement. But we had already been through the worst possible case scenario. Having a behavioral daughter shouldn't be this hard. Oh, but it was. Deep down inside, I just knew that Anya was our daughter and she was God's daughter.
This whole year, Jen and I faced the first head on. First Mother's and Father's Day, Bryson's birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas. It was difficult, but with God's help and friends, we stumbled forward through it with His grace and reminder of His promises. During this time, Parker was also starting to slip away more and more through our fingers. We could see it, and so could his doctors. At a care meeting, the team asked us for some goals. We stated that we needed Parker to get through Christmas and his birthday in January. We value those moments and milestones more than ever. So we put Parker in hospice to help obtain this goal. Christmas came with a heavy heart, New Year's, Parker's birthday on January 8th, followed by his birthday party. We made it. We praised God for those last few holidays with Parker. But then again, there was an anxiety brewing in our hearts. It is an extremely difficult thing to shake because we knew time was not on our side. Time was pressing. God had a plan and was in control. We knew this, but it was still difficult to practice. Let's be fair with one another, right? Time was ticking away. It is now Friday, January 23rd, just 4 months ago yesterday. Jen, Don, and Lisa had been up all night caring for Parker. His hospice nurse just left. The three very long days, we finally grasped the notion in our minds around the reality that we were losing Parker as well. His homecoming was coming to fruition. He was in the end stages of life, hours. He was physically dying, and we couldn't save him. Soon, he was going to be once again with his partner in crime and best friend, Bryson. Jen and I knew how bad this was going to get. Still in the midst of grieving for Bryson, we entered that tunnel vision trying to soak up as much time we had left with Parker. We had just done this 10 short months ago.
This is when our church family once again kicked into gear. We wanted Parker to be surrounded by those that loved him here on earth while he was meeting those that had already passed. Honestly, Mike and I, along with Duncan, we really needed that support. We didn't have a lot of that when we lost Bryson. We just simply didn't have time. This time we did. Our family, friends, Parker's nurses through the years, Pastor Jim, they were all there. The people that we did life with, they were all there. They took off work, they found childcare, they all rushed over to our home to once again take over anything and everything that needed to be done. Not one time did we ever hear a complaint. They were all here to serve us, Parker, and more importantly, our Heavenly Father.
As that time was coming closer and closer, the house became quieter. More and more people showed up with their love and support, and I can say without a doubt that the Holy Spirit was in our home that dreaded day. There was a peace that filled the room as Parker was taking his last breaths. Jen crawled up into his bed while I kneeled next to him. She held him. We both told him how much we loved him and told him that it was okay to go see Bryson and Jesus. The room was intensively quiet. You could hear a pin drop. All I could think about during that moment was to sing Jesus Loves Me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. 1:55 in the afternoon, Parker met Jesus and Bryson face to face.
Those next few days very much felt like deja vu. Hadn't we just been here 10 months ago? The house was eerily deafening quiet. But one little thing was different. A week before we lost Parker, we accepted an 11-month-old baby girl named Mia. We needed her just as much as she needed us. God knew exactly what he was doing when he placed her with us. He was in control and he had a plan.
So today, we are standing here as a very, very broken individuals and as a family. Knowing how important our family is to us, we are vulnerable, but with a peace and hope for the future. It doesn't make our grieving process easier, though. We are currently in the process of adopting our foster daughter, Anya, who we'll rename as Ruby. And I call her Poof because of her hair. You may have seen her around. And to welcome her to our family. to share some of the love with her. Duncan, he's about a year out from his black belt in Taekwondo, so watch out. And little Mia, I refer to her as Bam Bam. For now, we're just loving on her while God sees fit. Just 2 short weeks ago, though, we took in a placement for a 5-day-old baby girl named Isabella Scarlett. There are moments that we are standing or starting to see the sliver of God's plan and why us. The next step is figuring out what is the next part of our life story. What does he want that to look like? You see, while our story is extremely tragic and terrible, especially to anyone just trying to imagine a horrific story of unfathomable loss in their family, we have to give way to God's glory of grace and his promise he has given us all. We will never know how many lives Bryson and Parker and a crazy family have touched, but God can use our experience to encourage others. As a part of his plan, being part of his family matters. Us being a part of our family together matters. An important verse to us is Hebrews 4:16. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you guys so much for being willing to share such a difficult story with us. But why don't you stand with me? I think there's a lot of things we can hear as they share their story, but one of the things that we want to stand out is just the value that we have with one another, doing life with brothers and sisters in Christ, that we don't have to walk through the hardest stuff alone. And your hardest stuff is going to be different than their hardest stuff. But the reality is that we need other people to carry us when it is too difficult to walk on. Why don't we pray together? Why don't you close your eyes with me? We say, Father, thank you that you are present and that even in the hardest moments that you are with us and that you're for us. And in the darkest hours, you are still good. And we invite you, Lord, not only to speak into our lives, to lead us or to teach us, but Lord, would you surround us with people who will lift us up and carry us and fight for us, that we would be the kind of church that you dream of, that we would be a family of people supporting and loving one another.